I believe the Lord has a word for somebody here this morning. I really, really, really believe so. All right, so let's get to it. Let's read together. Ah, media people are giving me 60 minutes. Give me like 20 minutes though, please. So let's read together from Judges chapter 6, everybody. If you have a Bible. Judges chapter 6. This story is a very, very interesting story. So let me give you a backstory because you might not be able to read everything. So we want to read the story of Gideon, right? So Gideon was a man that really, really worked for God, and he fought so much a great battle, right? So he fought the Midianites, he fought a lot of battles and all of that and all of that. But it was not easy at the beginning when God called Gideon. He said some things about himself. He really looked down on himself. It was a battle between the angel of God that came to deliver the message and Gideon himself. I'm sure among these angels, thank God they do not have a will of themselves. Though. If they do, it will not be funny. Because when they bring God's message to some of these people in the Bible, the responses they get sometimes. I mean, I'm telling you that God said this is what is going to happen, and you say, how shall it be? If they had the power, maybe sometimes they will just slap people. I'm telling you. And thank God. I should thank God I'm not an angel. My laggy gone as an angel. All right, so let's read from the book of Judges chapter 6. We'll read 1 to 11 because of time. And the rest, maybe I'll just explain. Or we'll check some other verses as we go into it. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And okay, so before now, what has happened? Well, after the Israelites came out of Egypt, and then they had no king, so they always had like judges, so to speak, to rule over them. They had Tola, they had Deborah, they had a whole lot of people. They had Samson at some point. So this time was now for Gideon to lead the children of Israel. So let's read. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites, because the power of the Midian was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops and all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents, like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian also impoverished the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in verse 11 now. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep from the Midianites. 12 now, let me read to 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Okay, message says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "God is with you, O mighty warrior. O mighty warrior." I want us to know that when this angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, the first thing he said, the first thing he called him, he first told him for assurance purpose, he told him that the Lord is with you. Because you know, when people see angels, they're always scared. Most of them fall to their faces to worship them and all of those things. But he told them, calm down, the Lord is with you. And then the next thing he did was to call him a mighty warrior. To call him a mighty warrior. Now, what the Lord asked this angel to do very quickly here was, this story now is leading us to something, to our main discussion for today, or to our main discourse for today. Now, what the Lord asked the angel to do was to quickly do what we call identity check and alignment for Gideon. Do you hear what I'm saying? it was very, very important. That mighty warrior that this angel of the Lord called Gideon. It was important to, number one, the person of Gideon. Number two, to what God wanted to do through Gideon in order to save the children of Israel. Are we together? Are we together? Please don't sleep on me. Stay with me. So we serve a God that knows the end from the beginning. We all know this, right? You know, he didn't address Gideon by who he was or by his current situation as at the time that the angel got to him. Do you hear what I'm saying? He called him by what he wanted him to be, and that was exactly what Gideon became eventually. Now, when the angel of the Lord came, he said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." Now, let us see what Gideon was calling himself. I don't want to go ahead of myself too much. Yeah. So verse, before I get there, yeah. So verse 15. But Lord, Gideon asked, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Now, when the angel of the Lord came, he said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior." But this is our mighty warrior. What did he call himself? Weakest. Weakest. The same approach was what this angel of the Lord approached Mary with. When he went to him in Luke chapter 1 verse 28, he said, the angel went to her and he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." One thing I want us to know is that, see God, this is our God that we serve. He knows you more than you think of yourself. Do you understand? You know when people say, "I know myself. Ah, I can't do that." You don't know me. Even you don't know yourself. The only person that truly knows us more than we know ourselves, more than we think we know ourselves, is God. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he says that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Do you understand? It was with this same revelation, it was with this same word that this angel of the Lord came to, what's it called? To Gideon. Do you understand? Gideon was seeing himself as a weak man, as a feeble man, as somebody that could not measure up or didn't measure up. I mean, he said in the tribe of Manasseh, which was from Joseph. You know, Joseph had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. So they became two tribes because the Levites were taken out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you guys get what I'm saying? So that it could still be 12 tribes of Israel. Do you understand? So he was saying that of a whole tribe, imagine saying that of the Yoruba tribe or of the Western tribe in Nigeria, my village is the weakest. And even in my weakest village, I am the weakest man. So that means in the whole of Yoruba town, you are the weakest man. That's what Gideon was calling himself. The angel of the Lord did not call him what he was at that moment, small and weak. The angel called him what God has called him. That's why the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18, that why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. The current situation where we are now, or whatever it is that we are going through, are the things that we can see. Whatever sickness that maybe you've been pampering or believing God for healing for, are the things that you can see. Do you understand? Whatever it is that you are trusting God for, that is not manifesting yet, please note my word yet, are the things that you can see. But the Bible says that we should take our gaze away from that. We should look at the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporal. They shall pass away. Please tell your neighbor, they shall pass away. Tell yourself, they shall pass away. And indeed, they shall pass away. But the things which are not seen are what? They are eternal. So I want to ask this morning, how does God see you? And how do you see yourself? What does God call you? And what do you call yourself? Gideon was calling himself weak. He was calling himself small. Whereas God was calling him, O mighty warrior. And actually, physically speaking, Gideon was really not a man of standing in Israel. Like we discover from the scripture. And he said himself in verse 15 that his family is the weakest from the weakest clan in Manasseh. Do you understand? However, in verse... See, God bypasses our understanding every time. Every time. In verse 14, let us look at what God said to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 14. The Lord turned to him and asked, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Which strength does he have?
Do you guys get this discussion? Do you guys understand the gist? So at the beginning, it was God coming to him. And God said that, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. He said, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not what you have called me. God said, Iwolumo, go in the strength. At what point did Gideon become a mighty warrior? The very point God called him a mighty warrior. Is that why the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the hoped for and the conviction of things not seen? Now. It is always in the now. It's a now thing. That's why the Bible also says that we live by faith, not by sight. So it is, as you are doing, breathing in, breathing out, is by faith. The next second, the breath, where is it coming from? Is by faith. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Are we together, church? Is anybody sleeping? So this is a man who is of the least. So now, Gideon became a man of strength. Immediately, God called him so. And this is the same God. Remember in Romans, that Bible says that he's the God that called forth things that are not as though they were. Thank you. So now, this weak Gideon that God is calling to battle, let's see the Midianites that God wanted him to fight. Let's first check the people that God wanted him to fight. This Gideon, this same Gideon. In verse 2 of Judges chapter 6, in verse 2, the Bible says that the power of the Midianites was so oppressive. Verse 2, because the power of the Midianites was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelter for themselves in mountain clefts. They were running away. They were running away from them. That was how powerful these Midianites were. Number two, the Bible says that they were bullies. In verse 3, the Bible says, whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other Eastern peoples invaded their land. You remember when we were in secondary school now? Or maybe, I don't know. How many people were bullied? I was not bullied. Nobody could bully me, actually. How many people were in secondary school? How many people were bullied when they were in secondary school? Or ever bullied at all in school? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. The way Lillian is shaking her head. Things have happened. I saw our seniors bullying people. When we were in junior school, they would draw a car on the board. They will now tell people, they will now call juniors to come and push it. That's bullying now. Or they will tell you, they'll give it, that time, I mean, money was still valuable there. They could give you about 20 naira. They will tell you to go to the talk shop, and they will tell you to buy things worth of like 50 naira. And you will still bring change. Did anybody do it to you? Did you do it to somebody? I know where I want to face. Did you do it to somebody? Hey, Olamide, you bullied somebody. How? So there were bullies like that. Do you understand? Exactly how these Midianites were. They're bad people. These guys were running away from you. It's not enough that they were running away from you. The little that they could put together, at least to survive with, to guide body and soul together, to keep body and soul together, people will still come again. You will invade everything. Then in verse 4, they were callous and wicked people. In verse 4, the Bible says that they camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle, nor donkeys. These people were wicked people. And in verse 5, the Bible says that there were many. Verse 5, they came up with their livestock and their tents. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They were that many. And imagine the size of the army that God wanted Gideon to fight. You would be expecting that, like when Samuel was going to anoint David, and he got there and he saw Eliab, he saw somebody masculine, he saw somebody, maybe probably saw somebody like me, not somebody lanky like Paul. Do you understand? At least someone that has small muscle, that has small flesh, he's not the one that will see spears like this, he will run away. Ordinary shian of Goliath like this, oh my fellow. So, that was what Samuel too saw. And he said, okay, this must be the one whom God has called. And God said, no, I'm not looking. It's not by size. Most times God even bypasses us. It's not even by what you think of yourself. It's not by what you call yourself. It's not. I know it goes a long way. What we call ourselves, the confession we make of ourselves, what we believe of ourselves, and all of those things, they go a very long way. However, so see, God is very dynamic in his workings. We cannot, Bible says in Job that we cannot fathom his works. Do you understand? I mean, Gideon saw himself as weak, but God was saying that you, and he said, you are a mighty warrior. Bible, after he even said that me that I'm weak and all of those, and all of that, but God still told him again that go in the strength that you have. Do you guys get the gist? Do you understand what I'm saying? So now in verse 6, now all these things that the Midianites were and what they were doing now pushed the children of Israel. In verse 6, let's read verse 6. What now happened? The Midianites impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. That they cried out to the Lord for help. We are not where we are going to yet, though. This is just like we are picking some things on the way because it will really help our journey. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Follow me. Follow me closely this morning. After they were pressed, like pressed like this, they look up to God. I look up to the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. So whatever it is again that you are going through this morning, it's not just for you to sulk and whine about it and, you know, cry. If you can cry, it's okay. But the real thing is that you find purpose in pain. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Find purpose in pain. Let it move you close to God. There is a word for whatever it is that you are going through. Let's read from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This was exactly what the children, they were pressed. I'm not sure anybody had ever gone through what the children of Israel were going through here. You guys get what I'm saying? I don't know how I could explain this in contemporary times, in relatable terms. Maybe imagine working for like 3 months and then you are paid about 6 million naira and somebody comes and he clears it. And while you are recovering from that one, and then somebody, the land that you have bought somewhere, but say, I want money less. Say, they have basically. You understand? While you are recovering from that one again, UI is telling you that it seems that your matric number, 3 of you are sharing that same number. Imagine crazy things like that. But in all of, many people, see, God forbid that thing happens to anybody. If that happens to anybody, many people just lose it. You understand? Many people just lose it. I mean, some people, not even up to half of this has happened to them, and they committed suicide. You understand? I'm not making light of whatever they went through. Do you guys get what I'm saying? But I'm saying that no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how much you have trivialized it, no matter how much you have exalted whatever it is you are going through, there's help in God. Tell your neighbor there's help in God. Tell yourself there's help in God. There is actually help in God. In all of these things, these people found purpose in their pain. See, it's not because, God, because I'm going through this, I'm going to worship you. It's because I'm going through this, I'm going to worship you. So that you will now take me out of it. No. That's still kind of transactional worship. You are not worshiping him because you are in pain. And then you know that when you worship him in pain, he's going to take you out of it. Well, maybe that may be your starting point. But the point is, find purpose in it. Jesus Christ, when he was going to the point of crucifixion, he was in pain. But what was he doing? He was in pain because there was a purpose in it. He was finding purpose. He said, see, it was not a walk in the park. What Jesus went through. We'll get there. Anyways, so I was reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, verse 9. Now, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Where? In our body. So that the life of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in that situation. Might be made manifest in your thoughts. Because that's exactly where I'm going to this morning. Might be made manifest in your confession. Confession of the word of God about yourself. You hear what I'm saying? Find purpose in your pain. As I was saying, Jesus, all powerful. Of course, we all know that Jesus is all powerful. And we know that he's almighty. But his crucifixion was not a walk in the park. Baba, don't think, because when I was actually small, I used to think that maybe those things, they were not pinning Jesus as people think they were. I mean, it's Jesus now. Maybe he needed to act the part. Like, Oh yeah, let me. Mommy, the same pain you will feel if I give you one blala was the same pain Jesus felt too. He said it himself that, do you think I cannot come? When Peter was, you know, trying to be forward and all of that, and then he caught somebody's hair, and Jesus said, do you think I cannot call for backup from heaven and all of this will finish them all? He said, I don't need that. Let me go through it. I need to go through it. And then he said, Jesus, God, my Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass me by. But he said, not my will, but yours. He was finding purpose in pain. It was because of that purpose that he found that both of us, all of us like this, that we are here this morning. If Jesus had said, well, me, I'm not doing it again, no. Me, shame on me. We can't be here. I don't know what if there was a backup plan for that anyways. But I'm sure there's no backup plan because Jesus came in full obedience to the will of the Father. Do you understand? To the will of the Father. Oh, no, shame, what come now? He didn't do anything. And we were not even born yet. But because he knew that my big head and your big head, we will do things in future. We will be reckless in future. We'll be wayward in future. We'll be a lot of things in future. He's or more. It's a grand plan. He already planned everything out. He already worked it out. Imagine somebody say that they are going to kill you for your 10th generation to come. How many people say, oh yeah, should be for my generation? How many people are that? How many people? Everybody wants to enjoy life now. Which one is killing me for my 10th generation? But Jesus, for generations and generations and generations, till he comes back, he has made the plan already. Because he found purpose in where? In pain. In pain. So instead of telling God, God, let this cup pass over me, why not just lift up that cup to God and tell him, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up to you. You know, tell him to fill it. He will. It's the same God that says that he gives us the will. Then he empowers us to bring it to pass. We always think that maybe when God wants to give an assignment or he has a plan for us, we always think like maybe we see the way, we always think that he sees the way we see. He doesn't. He has finished everything. Someone has said that before they gave birth to you, I knew you from the womb. I already know your future. He even says that I will give you a future, an expected end. You think he doesn't know? He does know. He knows. Are we together? Are we together, guys? If you're not together, let me know so that I'll pack my Bible and I will go. Anyways, so as I was saying, whatever it is, pray some more. Study some more. Serve some more. Be more fervent. Draw near to God. See, help is near. Help is near. No matter how long you have persisted, help is near. Help is near. Tell yourself, help is near. Janet, as you are helping Joba do her hair like that, tell her, help is near. Thank you. Preach to somebody this morning. So, back to Gideon. God deliberately chose this weak and feeble man to lead the battle against such a great enemy. Do you understand? But you know that going to fight, Bible says that they were like swarms of locusts. There were very many. We shall be many. There were many. So you'll be thinking, like Gideon was thinking, that if you are going to fight such a great battle, me that I'm thinking that I cannot go up against these people. Of course, you need to recruit a lot of people. Do you understand? A whole lot, just like Chelsea is recruiting a lot of players, but it's still going to be a loss for them. Do you get what I'm saying? So you need to recruit a lot of people. That's what Gideon was thinking. But when God started cutting down, maybe somebody will need to go and message their coach and learn from this. Anyways, when God started cutting down from about 300,000 people or something, cut them down to 3,000 people. Cut them down to how many? 300. To 300. That's why the Bible says that, for God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of this world to shame who? To shame the strong. The way he thinks, or the way we think, is not the way he thinks. If we can think the way God thinks, we will say the things God says. We will speak the way God speaks. We will act the way God acts. That's why Jesus Christ was saying that whatever I hear my Father say is what I say. Whatever I hear him do is what I do. Because he could think the way God was thinking. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible was saying in Romans that we renew our mind daily. 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 Every time. As much as you can. Renew your mind. If you can win the battle of the mind, you have won the battle of life. I tell you. Because a whole lot of things have. So this conversation between the angel of the Lord and Gideon seems like identity crisis repair. Every time Gideon looked down on himself, he called himself weak. The angel of God was quick to counter his positivity. You will know about this work. You will know about this work. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that death and life are in the power of where? Of the tongue. And that was the same thing that God did for Zechariah. When the birth of John the Baptist was foretold, and Zechariah was saying that, you prayed for it in the first place, and you're asking God again, how shall this be? Well, take muteness for a while. When the child is conceived, we'll bring back your speech. Do you understand? Do you guys get the gist now? So as I was saying, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So Gideon, God was quick enough to shut Gideon up before he used his mouth to kill himself. In verse 22 and verse 23 of this our text in Judges chapter 6. So when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he explained, "Alas, sovereign God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Immediately, the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." Because he knew that the next thing Gideon was going to say was, "I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. I am going to..." But God asked quickly, let's see, the purpose of God will be accomplished though. It will definitely be accomplished. But lest Gideon will use his mouth to say, "I've seen the angel of the Lord, I shall die." So you want to pay even yourself. We are still trying to repair the way you see yourself, the things you say about yourself. You still want to add death to it. You now just abolish everything. Lest Gideon will go to that war. He will win the war. But he might not just return home alive. Because he has killed himself before the war. So that's what the angel quickly did. Say, don't say it. Peace. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die. And when this battle went back and forth, this story is a very interesting story. When he went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and when Gideon's identity was put in check, he said, "Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace." And thereafter then, he began to do exploits. When he stopped calling himself weak, when he stopped calling himself small, when he stopped calling himself feeble, he started doing exploits. He did so much that they changed the name from Gideon to Jerubbaal. Jerubbaal means the one who contends with Baal. He was pulling down every altar of Baal. Every altar of Baal. So people came against him and said, "They are going to kill you." He said, "Why? Why are you fighting me? Should be the Baal that you are fighting for. If you could fight, let him come and fight for himself." That's why they started calling him Jerubbaal. So much that he did. So much. So if you don't know any better this morning, God is sending me to remind you of your identity as a believer. Your identity as a believer. I don't tell you my title. I don't tell you. Sorry. My title this morning: you are loved, you are enough. Tell somebody you are loved. You are enough. Find another partner and preach to them. Tell them you are loved and you are enough. Now tell yourself, "I am loved. I am enough. I am loved and I am enough." God has sent me to remind you, your identity as a believer is love. You are loved and you are enough. So stop subscribing to the lie of the devil like Gideon was, that he's weak because he has seen the size of his family. He has seen the number of his family. He has probably seen his account number, his account balance. He has seen his qualification. He has seen the things that he thought he was going to accomplish and he could not accomplish. And he just comes to the summary of, I am weak. He has compared himself with so many other people, the people that they gave birth to after him, that are now maybe army in all of these things, and they have a large farmhouse and all of that and all of that. And then the conclusion he could come to, the logical and, permit me to say, foolish conclusion he could come to about himself was that he was weak and he was small. Tell yourself, "I am loved and I am enough." So stop subscribing to the lie of the devil. Who makes you feel unloved? Who makes you feel less of yourself or lesser of what God sees you as or what God calls you? God loves you. Do you believe it? It seems like a generic statement. It seems like something that everybody, you know, just always says that God loves you, God loves me, God. But many people have discovered do not live in the realization of the love that God has for them. Because if they truly do, some of the things you hear people say, they will not say. Some of the things you see people and hear people do, you will... People don't call on love whereby. You should be like, it's from behind like this that some people are thinking. See, that's why I said that if you can settle the case of the battle of the mind, many things have been settled. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how much God loves you. That is, see, the kind of love that God has for you. It's not, yes, it is. There's that one on generic love and all of that. It's not a church love. See, because I'm in a expression house, God loves me. Yeah, maybe. But personally, as a person, as a tayo, as a biodu, as a femi, as a nifemi, as a whatever, God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. Do you get what I'm saying? When I preach to people, unbelievers, and they are asking questions, you will know that, these ones, they are thinking that maybe God is probably angry with them. When you tell them things like, see, let me tell you, me, I'm a believer, and you think maybe you're a sinner. Oh, well, yeah, you're a sinner. But see, as you are like this, both of us, it's the same way that God loves us. Say, eh? I say, oh, yeah, let me shock you. And I mention maybe a big pastor's name, maybe, you know Pastor Adeboye now. You know Bishop Oyedepo. It's the same love God has for them that he has for you. Some people's mind cannot comprehend that. They're always like, it's the same love. Maybe somebody doesn't even know this morning that the same love God has, the same way God loves Pastor Fred, is the same way God loves you. If it's a lie, say yes, sir. If you believe it, say yes. It's true. You are loved. You are enough. How long, like Gideon, will you let the devil keep lying to you that you are and depriving yourself of the privilege of a loved child, of a favorite child, of God's favorite. See, Lee Mobley dropped one album one time. He said, God's favorite baby. I love that name. God's favorite baby. Of all the people in the world. Amen. He said, God's favorite baby. See yourself as a baby. See yourself as somebody that God loves. Wake up and tell yourself, I am loved and I am enough. So I don't care words that people have said to you that have haunted you this long, be it words of rejection or depression, words of despair and condemnation from your boss, from your parents, from family members, from somebody you hold in high esteem, maybe even from a mentor. No matter what it is that they have said to you, the only thing I care about is what the word of God says. And it says that you are loved. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For those who are in Christ. For those who are in Christ, if truly you are in Christ, you are loved, you are enough, and you matter. Oh, kere no aye. Yes. You are not small. Tell yourself, I'm not small. If you can speak Yoruba, you know kere. Yes. You are loved. You think the love of God is small? It's not small. Somebody has planned you before the beginning of the world. You think it's small? For you to be planned. Imagine you are planning your life for the next 5 years, 10 years, and somebody is in that plan. Is that person a small person to you? Would you do that for somebody that you do not love? That you are you can plan to kill somebody in the next 5 years. You cannot. It's only people that you love so much. Unless even you don't even have direction. That's why you'll be putting people you don't love in your plan for the next 5 years. Do you understand? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's what I was saying, that don't think of the scripture as such a generic one. Yes, it could be, but it applies to everybody. What applies to everybody is that if you were the only unbeliever on earth, Jesus would still have gone to the cross. All those beating, all those scourges, all those things that he suffered, he would have suffered you. If Ebenezer was the only unbeliever in this world, I believe it and I know it. If you were the only unbeliever, or if you are not born again yet, if you are the only unbeliever, Jesus will still have come. You still have gone through all of those things. So don't think that it's because I'm a lesser. Because sinners are very many. That's why Jesus just said, let me go and die for them. No. It's a personal. That's why when you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, or when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the words you said were, I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior. As my personal Savior. He loved the world so much. The Bible could not just start saying that, for God so loved Folake, for God so loved Paul, for God so loved Angela, for God so loved Dubarin, for God so loved Folake, for God so loved... Imagine, because the Bible wants us to see how personal it is. He's not mentioning everybody's name, one after the other, one after the other. Thank you. Mentioning everybody's name. Why did you not give Paul to bring it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is a personal one. It is overwhelming. It is perfect. Do you get what I'm saying? So don't think that you are just one of the so many people Jesus Christ has come to die for. Yes, you are one of the so many, but you are the see it as I'm the only one he has come to die. That's how we begin to think of how highly he loves us, of how deep he loves us, of how perfect his love for us is. And that is what he has called us. That he loves us. God loves you. Tell yourself, I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. So believing that you are unloved or telling yourself that you are not loved is a blatant lie. And we all know where lie comes from now. In John chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus was speaking. He said, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He speaks his natural language. I speak Yoruba so well. It's my native language. That's how it is for the devil. He speaks. When he speaks, it's just natural for him. Oh, okay. That's why I cannot understand Christians that lie. Mole, what? They know they find out. Like, they just lie. Yeah. And I'll be like, Oman Semi giz. He put on one button in me. Many people just lie that you know that it's obvious like this. God knows of somebody I'm thinking of like this. If you just lie, Paul, see, but don't let me call it his name. Let me say his name is Paul. You see, but Paul, oh my God, you know, I say, see how he was actually, run. It's a lie. So if you are lying, you are not of God, though. I will not lie to you. Or maybe you are not working in the actualization of the fact and of the truth that you are of God. See now, the Bible says that when he lies, he speaks. Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And he said previously that you belong to your father, the devil. So when you lie, what did the scripture say? You want to carry out your father's desire. For he's a liar and the father of all lies. So when you lie, how do you now lie and say you are of God? Do you understand? That's just by the way anyways. But what I'm saying is that is lie. That is lying to you. That is telling you that, sure, you see people, the way people treat you. See, you go to a gathering, everybody will talking to each other. It's only you that they will not talk to. Maybe it even happens to you in church, that after service, people are greeting each other and all of that. And nobody even notices you. You just, the same way you come, it's the same way you go, Sunday in, Sunday out. And maybe you get home and you're thinking that, nobody loves me in that church. Nobody even loves me anywhere. Nobody loves me anywhere. Nobody loves me around. It's a lie. God loves. Oh, you are loved by Jay. God loves you. God loves you. See all those things? They are lies of the devil. He knows he has a way of cooking all those lies, such that he will now deposit it in your mind. Then you start believing those lies. And if the Bible says, this is what I was saying earlier, that you cannot say you are of Jesus and you are lying, or that you believe devil's lie. The Bible says that we cannot serve two masters. If the Bible says that we cannot serve two masters, I strongly believe for a truth and for a fact that you cannot feed from two masters. Right? So you cannot be feeding from the truth of the word of God. And you cannot be feeding from the lies of the devil. You have to stay somewhere. Do you get what I'm saying? There's no in between. There's no in between. And see, this is not a superiority contest between either Jesus or the devil. This is just the devil that is already defeated, trying to keep people in defeated states as well, so that you do not see the victory that is yours already in Christ. Tell yourself, I am loved. I am enough. Don't let the devil lie to you. Because they fired you at work, you are thinking, why Jamie, out of about 20 people that are working in that office, why is it only me that they now fired because you've graduated now from school. All your mates are working now. You are still looking for employment. Why is it only me? Because the people that you finished secondary school together, they have even finished university. You are still doing jump. You are still thinking of which one to do. Poly or uni. You are still there, still doing this or that. Come watch me. All your friends, they are married. Kinikon. Me, nobody is even saying sis, afana. You are loved regardless. You are loved regardless. Come watch me. Tell yourself, I am loved. I know that when we preach love in church, we are a bit calm about it. Jesus loves you, my sister. We try to massage people's ego and all of that. But hey, me, I'm telling you sternly and for a fact that also aligns with the word of God that you are loved, and you matter, and you are enough. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? In this place, tell yourself, I am loved. I am enough. I am loved. I am enough. I am loved. I am enough. Behind the pillar, I am loved. I am loved. I am enough. Because that's the truth of the word of God. That is the truth of the word of God. See, let me tell you, this devil that keeps lying to everybody, here and there, then and now, he's not as smart as you think he is. He's the same devil, the same gimmicks. It's the same, it's the constant submission and obedience to the devil's gimmicks that makes up what people call patterns. When people begin to have patterns that, my daddy, it was like this. My grandfather, it was like this. In our family, this is how it is. No, it's constant. People don't love us in our family. We don't pass this stage in our family. If they have not been passing that stage, you are here now. You have arrived. Go and raise the standard. Bible calls. Do you know what the Bible calls us in Isaiah chapter 58? Let's quickly go there. Verse 12. It says that your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundation. You will be called repairers of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. So all this in my family, in our lineage, this is where Kinikon, he stops with you. Because you are different. You're not like, and it's the devil that is giving all of those lies. He's not new. He tried it with Jesus now. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, media, if you can help us, let's quickly read that. My time is now 15 minutes. From 20 minutes, it's now 15 minutes. Please let me add another 20 minutes. That's why I said, give me 20 minutes first. So I'll be asking for 20 minutes. It's not 20 minutes I'm still spending. Genesis chapter 3, very quickly. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say, you must not eat from any fruit in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruits from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. Then the serpent says, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. Then the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some of it and ate it, and she also gave to her husband, Mumu, who also was with her dear, and he ate it. Adam, if I catch that egg, you were there like this. And they are deceiving your wife. Anyways, the same approach. Now come and see now with food, with edible, right? Let's travel to the now when Jesus came physically in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Very quickly. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Then Jesus was led by the, this was after he had fasted and all of those. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, he was hungry. The tempter came and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Oh, yeah, wait. God in heaven, me, the Son in heaven, the Holy Spirit in heaven, host of angels, the elders rising and falling at in worship to God, all of us, we came to a meeting and we agreed that me, the Son of God, I'm going to the earth to go and die for people. And you, defeated devil, you are now telling me if I am the Son of God, as if I have lost my identity. Do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? This is how people... Do you know that some of these things that we do now, from the days of the Bible, is this not how we trigger people to fight? If they are the son of Olaso, they talk about buy near, touch it. Do you understand? As if you are not the son of... I mean... Do you hear what I'm saying? Is that somebody telling Folake now, if you are the son of Afolabi, as if she's the son of Shobowale. She's already son of Afolabi, but us too, in our, you know what I mean? We should now say, the name of my father, let's learn from Jesus. This is devil. That's why I'm saying that he's not as wise as we think he is. He's corny and all of those things, but his gimmicks, it's the same. No creativity, no nothing. He will just make it look more contemporary. It's the same thing now. Is it not the same thing? Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. What that Mumu Adam should have done. What he should have done. That no, even if they were not, quote and unquote, scriptures like that, like that, like that, like that. But at least God said something. If all Adam could have done that time was to repeat what God said. That God said, we should not eat of these fruits. He had that scripture. Right? So when that thought comes again, when it hits you again, when something that somebody has said that is making you feel unloved, that is making you feel unworthy of yourself, that is making you feel that you are not enough, you cannot do it, you cannot attain it. If you apply for it, they will not pick you. If you go for it, they will neglect you. If you greet him, he will snub you. If you greet her, she will snub you. If you ask for a number, she will not give you. Tell that person, it is written. Find your it is written. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus did not say, I mean, Jesus was hungry. If he wanted to, he could have turned that water. But he cannot play. You can't keep playing to the dead. You can't keep playing to his beats. You can't keep dancing to his beats. Do you understand? So when Adam fell for it, the first Adam fell for it. Now, this is the second and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, right? Imagine Jesus now falling for the same gimmick, onje, food. It will now become a pattern. Do you understand? People will now start saying, in the days of the Bible, that's how our forefathers used to fall for it. No, let it stop with you. Let you stop. Even if there are track records that truly, in the family, this is how it has been happening. I'm here now. I'm here. He stops here. This is full stop. This is bus stop. You know they pass this place. Be like Martinez. You know they pass this place. Do you hear what I'm saying? You can't allow the devil rob you of your identity. No. What wrong now? What wrong? See, this love that God has for us, we are the ones giving the devil the permission. See, devil, the passcode to my phone is 2479. We are the one giving him like this. He does not know it. Either you know it or not. I'm telling you now for a fact that he does not know the passcode to your life. Now you, they give him. If you don't give him access, he cannot enter. If you do not give the devil access, he cannot enter. He cannot even say he wants to break in. There's no breaking in. What does he want to break? He wants to break the covenant. He wants to break the blood of Jesus. He wants to break the Holy Spirit. He wants to break the angels that are guiding you. No! But once you just, it's not like he did that. He just, see, once when devil starts dealing with people or start dealing with your mind, you think he's agidi that says, he now breaks in. He walks in majestically. Guess who opened the door? You did. The Bible says, where did I get that from? The Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, we'll read to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now, 37 is now where I'm going. He now says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who have loved us. For I am convinced, oh Lord, sure for me, Pache. That's what the Bible is saying. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons. See what I'm saying now? See what I'm saying now? Say, until you give him the access, he doesn't have it too. He does not have it. Nor demons, nor presence, nor even angels, as powerful as they are. As powerful as they are. If that's why the Bible says that they succumb to the word of the Lord. That's what they obey. It's not tears. It's not emotions. It's not God, please now. Who said God had a shaman in the Bible? Even Jabez, he prayed prayer and he didn't say the shanumi now. Do you understand? Neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither heights or depths or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But why is it that people are now being separated from the love of God? Because you are the one separating yourself from the love of God. You are the one giving the devil the permission to toy with your mind, to toy with your heart, to toy with your emotions, with your feelings. You hear what I'm saying? And then when he now does all those past those, you now come to a conclusion. Maybe nobody really loves me as it were. He running. God loves you. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God loves you, who can unlove you? Who cares who does not love you when God loves you? The Bible not say that when a man's way are pleasing to the Lord, he makes his enemy. What? Are you telling me? When you walk in the consciousness of the love of God, when you walk in the consciousness, you don't care who doesn't love you. They will fall in place. They will align. They will align. I was telling that you find purpose in pain. When Jesus Christ found his purpose in his pain, at the end, when they crucified him and he gave up the ghost, what did the soldiers say? They said, of truly. First John chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us, that God is love. Whoever lives in God lives in love and God in them. This is how love is made perfect among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. But before that day of judgment comes, while you are on earth now, enjoy your heaven on earth. Don't do hell on earth because there's one heaven. Enjoy that heaven now. Then it will not be fun, you know. When you get to heaven, you see that, this was all I missed while I was on earth. It will pain you. It will pain you. It will. In this world, we are like Jesus. I'm still reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. In this world, we are like Jesus. If truly we are like Jesus, what did Jesus do when he was physically on earth? He just loved people. He just loved them. He just loved people. He loved people so much that his cousin was beheaded. In the next verse, he was healing people. He had so much compassion for them. That kind of love. That kind of love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. Another translation says, fear has torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We have to intentionally live in the consciousness of God's love for us. Intentionally. You have to always call your head back when your head has traveled. See, this person said to me, oh, I know that we have people in our lives that we really, really hold in high esteem and all of that. And sometimes when these people say things to us, they can be really hurtful and all of that. But no, call back your mind that regardless what this person has said, regardless how I have been treated, I am loved. See, have you ever been in love before? I mean, heroes kind of love, boy and girl kind of love. Have you, OJ, if you shake that head, I will nod your head. What do you mean? Have you ever, I'm in love, Omo. And I tell you for a fact, love is sweet. You cannot come and tell me that my girlfriend does not love me. I cannot believe you. I cannot, Peter, Abi Petra, try it. I would nod you. I cannot believe it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Somebody that I've known before, I got to know all of you. Maybe unless this boy that is here, sir. This boy that is here. What are you telling me? That's the same energy that we should drive into it concerning God's love for us. Do you get what I'm saying? See, some of the lessons they say, "Oh, Benny, I have a father in heaven." There was one song this religious sang, Pelumi Deborah, on my back. There's a way she was singing in that song. You know that whole short feeling, he say, "Ah, he say, oh, lo, ni, kin, duro, di, de. Oh, lo, ni, kin, ma, berry." That's when you come to the realization. When Gideon came to the realization of who he was, he said, "The Lord is peace." What he encounter, what we are talking about. When you encounter this God's love, nobody, somebody will say something to you, "You are pure water already, you are crying." You raw. You will not them back. And he said, this kind of love, somehow, it has a Gideon. It has a Gideon. It's persistence. That's what I mean. Not like literally stronger like that. But then, you know, they agree. Because even Jesus, he know they agree. See, people always think that he leaves the 99 to run after us. He agree like that. You see why he agree? You know, go agree. You have to live. When we understand the love of God, you just be at rest. You know, come, mama, do me. You just be happy. There are no sugar. You just be happy. You will just be, see, that's what the Bible says, that from joy, you now begin to draw from the wells of salvation. Because you understand that in the first place, that salvation was made available because of the love of God for you. And if salvation was made available in the wells of salvation, everything and anything you need is there. But if you don't know, if you don't understand God's love, how do we even begin to talk about having the joy of the Holy Ghost, bursting forth in the joy of the Holy Ghost, and all of these things? The basis is what? It's love. Do you get what I'm saying? Is somebody following me this morning? Is anybody sleeping this morning? So how much does God love us? I've said that he loves us so much that if only one person was the one believer remaining on this earth, immediately they were giving birth to people like this. If that scripture that said that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord, if that scripture was not there, and as we are giving birth to like this, everybody was just born again. Pa, you were born again. Pa, you were born again. And Paul is the only unbeliever that was giving birth to. Jesus will still have come for him. Don't mind him. Jesus will still have come for him. That's how much he loves us individually, personally. He loves you, girl. He loves you, Bache. How much does God love us? Number one, he loves us so much that he gave his son for atonement of sins and redemption. For atonement of sin and redemption. Let's read Romans chapter 5. Hurry again because of me. You will not enjoy life. They will give you a car, you will not ride. You are like, I want to live, I want to win. So that's what the Bible is saying. But now imagine Jesus. Regardless how we were, or if you are not born again this morning, regardless how you are, that's why they always say, come as you are. He has already given his son. See, Jesus has died. He has died already. There's nothing you can do to make him undie because of your sin. There's no sin that you can sin that will make him see that, No. He loves you so much. God loves you so much that he gave his son. Even the son that came, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. So much. When he gave Jesus Christ, he gave the best that he could give. The very best. Just like when it is Ablaze grand finale, everybody will wear the best that they can wear because we all want to look best. That's how Jesus, God gave the best when he gave Jesus Christ. When he gave Jesus Christ, he gave the best. If one of the elders crying, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," was the best, that's what God would have given. If one of the angels was the best, that's what God would have given. But Jesus Christ was the best that he could give. And he gave him to us. Why? Because he loves us. You are not telling because of the word of a man that has but breath in his nostrils that can drop the next minute. You are telling me you are not loved. You are loved. Tell yourself, "I am loved." For further study, because of Isaiah, I asked for 20. Oh yeah, give me another 20 minutes. That first 20 minutes has finished. For further study, you can check Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 to 8. It was talking about Jesus bearing our iniquity. Then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2, was talking about giving access. Then how much does God love us? Number two, he gave his spirit for fellowship and communication. for fellowship. And now Jesus Christ had come. He had died. That one, rest assured. Now we are born again. He still did not leave us hanging. That's how much he loves us now. Imagine somebody paying your school fees up until, for people who love books, some people love books here. Yeah, after BSc, they still want to do MSc. They will do second masters. They will now do, they will now start writing thesis for PhD. So if you, that kind of person, you love book that much, fantastic. Now you now see somebody that now says, I'm going to pay till you become emeritus professor. I think that's the highest form of education. Say, I'm going to pay for you. I mean, that's settled now. That's settled for an academician. That's settled, like, say, 80% of your finances. On top of that one, he now says, I will not leave you hanging because I've paid your school fees through BSc to professor level. Says, you need to move around the campus. Gives you a car. Four people staying in the hostel. And then sometimes you now have people come and squat again. What does maybe a two-bedroom apartment sound like to you in Aerodrome? I mean, Aerodrome is not too far from you, right? And you have a car to convey you. Do you understand? And then it's like, only that's it, you need to boost your immune system. BLC, Bodija Market, say, anything foodstuff that you eat that will last you till the end of the year. Because if you buy it, you finish with it to spoil. Till the end of the year, oh yeah, buy. The ones that can spoil, he buys you a deep freezer. Store them there. Nepa is not good, though. He installs solar that can power freezer. Gives you generator. There's no fuel, though. One better electrolysis that can be powering your fuel. Imagine somebody with that kind of package. After giving you, say, your tuition is settled, though. He's still saying, I will not leave you hanging. That's poor. That's a poor example. Compare. But that's the closest thing I can find. Compared to what Jesus, to what God did for us when he gave Jesus. And then he now accompanied this with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was going to heaven, when it was reaching time for him to be crucified, he was telling his disciples, he said, and when I go, I will not leave you like that. I will give you the Holy Spirit that is going to be with you. He's going to be your comforter, your advocate. Somebody is giving you all of these things and you are telling me that you are not loved. How? It's even wrong. You should repent. I know you were hurt. I know it was painful. This and that. You go back and repent that God, I haven't given me all of these things. Still having that mindset, I'm sorry. When we come to the realization of what God has done for us, what he has made available for us, you are loved, though. You are loved. My time is up. Should I stop? Even if you say yes, I will not stop. Let's read from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I said he gave the Holy Spirit for fellowship and for communication. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's Spirit in accordance with the will of God for fellowship and communication. This is the place where we lock hands with God, praying in other tongues, seeking the face of God, hearing him. Bible says again in Jude 20 that building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in other tongues, rising higher and higher like an edifice. So he gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us access to the throne of grace. He still gave us how to go there. So when I said when God gave Jesus Christ, he gave his best. When he now gave the Holy Spirit, he gave his all. The Holy Spirit, there's nothing he could give again. He gave the Holy Spirit. This one, there's nothing in this world that you need, that I cannot do for you. Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? And you're not telling me you are not loved. That's how much he loves you. Number three, how much does he love you? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16, that I have tattooed you on the palms of my hands. There was one video that was trending one time of a lady that went to write the name of her, I don't know if anybody saw it on Twitter, that went to write the name of her boyfriend on our forehead like this. The comment section of that post was not funny. Oh, terrible gone. What are the chances? I'm not bad, Beleo. But what are the chances? You know what I mean? What will not happen? Life goes on. But see now, but regardless, God has us inscribed already, engraved. Another scripture says, engraved. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your words are ever before me. That's how much he loves you. Imagine having somebody's name tattooed on the palms of your hand. That means every now and then you're always seeing the person. That means you are mindful of that person. Do you get what I'm saying? You are mindful of that person. If you have somebody you love so much, it doesn't have to be girlfriend or girlfriend, your mother, your sibling, your friend, somebody you really, really love so much that you can't go a day without talking to, you are mindful of that person. You don't have to be with the person. You might not even see the person for, I will share it. I'm the one preaching. For, I think, throughout 2022. No, 2022, none. No, it was last year. Throughout last year, from, I think, November 2022 to November last year, me and my baby, we don't use eyes to touch each other like this. For a year. Which one is, is she your babe? You didn't hear me pity. For a year. It was tough. It was we were not fighting, no. She was away. So there was no way we could see. The distance was too much. Sometimes I'll be like, oh my, I'll take up. But, oh, you'll be like, say, me, I want to travel. I want to go see my baby. Say, oh yeah, now, run out now. I just, oh, I know they go again, Jerry. Do you understand? But I was still mindful of her. Every day we talk. Maybe not every day, but at least every other day. We talk. On the days that we don't even talk, I was mindful of her. That's how it is. That's how it is with God.
Don't worry.
So the people are saying God when? God is saying whenever you're ready. So what I'm saying is God is mindful of you. That he has you tattooed, engraved. He cannot be cleaned. Your name is always there. Forget that we are self. See, the one of the problems is that we're always thinking that, only you. Imagine that. My name is Sobo Ali Ebenezer. Imagine on God's left hand, Sobo Ali is written. On God's right hand, Ebenezer is written. It's none of your business. When you want to call a space one man call for like he no concern you. You know, when you accepted Jesus, did he say, I accept you as my Lord plus Deborah's Lord and both of us our personal Savior? No. It's a one-on-one relationship. I know that the Bible says that when we have come to heavenly Jerusalem, we have come to the gathering of angels and festal procession and all of that, there's a place for that. Do you understand? In fact, it is from the place of the personal one that we can now come together, that we are not forsaking the gathering of brethren. You get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So from the place of me and God, we don't word this morning. We don't communicate this morning. Do you get what I'm saying? Then we come together. Then we now have a fellowship. Do you get what I'm saying? Because if that one is not there, and we are all coming together every time and say we are having fellowship, it's a lie. We are just gathering. It's just a gathering. When there are no people don't have personal relationship, imagine all you are living by as a Christian that God loves, walking and living in the actualization of God's love for you. All you are living by is just what you hear on Sunday and maybe one or two Thursdays that you come in a month. And that's what you are living by. Are you kidding me? No daily prayer, no daily study of the word of God. Are you whining me? It's not enough. It's not even the daily. We say that in Christ we live, we move, and we have our breath or our being. So if truly that, fellowship and communion is very important. He has tattooed you on the palm of his hands. He's ready for that fellowship. He's ready for that love relationship. It's now left to you. See, if anything is wrong with you, between you and God, it cannot be God. I hope you know. So all this God, why now? Like people are now sharing the blame. Like, God, I've done my part. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've given alms. I've given special offering. I've won souls. I serve so much in my ministry. So what are you telling God? I've done my part. So you have to do your part. So is God your alone? That's what you're saying. No. It's always from this end of the divide. He's always from this end. He's always from us. He's never from God. He loves us so much that the Bible even says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 4 and 5, that he will give lives in exchange for us. He will give life in exchange for us, since you are precious and honored in my sight. And because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you. Nations in exchange for your life. Next verse. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. Because I love you. because I love you. Think you can do anything to quantify this love, to qualify for this love? No, it's just there. It's just his love. It's a regardless love. It's irrespective of anything kind of love. It's a despite anything kind of love. It's not attached to anything. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not attached to anything. He just loves you and he enjoys loving you. I hope you know. God is not tired of loving you. No matter how strong-headed you are, no matter how whatever it is that you are, God still loves you and he enjoys loving you. He might not just enjoy some of the things that you do to grieve him, but he still enjoys loving you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we on the same page? He loves you so much that he wants you healed and he wants you well. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be well. He wants your physical body healed. Your body like this. He wants it healed. Isaiah chapter 53, 4 and 5. I love this scripture so much. I love it so much. Nothing elsewise, nothing in this world that I believe that there's nothing in this world that this scripture, as simple as it seems, or as it looks like everybody knows it, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed and made whole. There's nothing he cannot heal. That's my medicine. There's nothing. Edeko, pain, no. This one, no. That one, no. It's by the church. If you are my friend, my friends, if they, I'm not feeling fine. What I always type is, our first response is, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed and made whole. It's not pity party. Hey, ya, kwele, ba, lo, ashin, sheba, yi. What does that bring? It will even make the situation worse. You hear what I'm saying? So you have come to me, or you have come to a friend, or I have come to you. Say, I don't know. I feel feverish and all of that. And then the next thing you are telling me is, hey, yeah, pele, it looks like human empathy and sympathy. Empathy and sympathy will not heal anybody. You get what I'm saying? It's like in the hospital. The doctor is not as passionate as the mother of a child that is sick. The doctor doesn't even care, but he has a solution. You get what I'm saying? The mother can be all over the place. Hey, help me, my child. And the doctor is just strolling. What's wrong with your child? All right. Give him 2 doses of paracetamol for 2 days. He'll be fine. Now he get the solution. You get what I'm saying? So it's not really in the empathy or the nursing, the nurturing and nursing and sulking and, you know, doing pity party because you are sick. I'm not saying we should not sympathize with people or we should not be compassionate. But what I'm saying, that the real compassion, I mean, when Jesus Christ, when they killed his cousin, John the Baptist, the next verse, what he did, because it was compassionate, he healed people now, right? And so true compassion is healing, believing the word of God for your life, that by his stripes, verse 4 says that, so he took our pain and bore our suffering, if you name. And by his wound, we are healed. It's the same yesterday. This word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anything, he loves you so much that he wants you healed. As he was going to the cross, that he was crying everything, and they was beating him. This one, bash! They gave him one for your malaria. Bash! One for fever. Bash! One for whatever. Bash! One for meningitis. He has taken everything. So that we can be well, so that we can be made whole. The Bible says in the book of Romans that the spirit of him who quickeneth, if the spirit, let's read it. Romans chapter 11. So Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So there's no way that you can tell me that, maybe one sickness is kinikon. It's not kinikon. He wants you healed completely, totally. See, bearing all of those things, when now God's cross, what did he say? He said it is finished. If Jesus said it is finished, why are you continuing with it? Do you get what I'm saying? Are we together? And he wants us well. Beloved, I hope that above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul. I pray that you may enjoy good health, that all may also go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. That all may go well with you, your soul. It first says that I pray that you may enjoy good health, your health taken care of. Right? And all may go well with you. And even as your soul is getting along, all going well with you covers your finances, covers prosperity, covers you doing well. Everything doing well, everything that it means to do, everything you can think of, when somebody is doing well, it covers it. That aligns with the word of God anyways. Do you hear what I'm saying? Having money is part of doing well. Yes. Yes. Having money. Don't let us go to say prosperity. Having money in your account, having money when you need it, is part of doing well. It's not palatable. It's not good. It's not good when you don't have money. You go da. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wants you to have money. It's part of doing well. Do you get what I'm saying? So that you can be fine. He says now, that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. Your soul, this way now, all this communication with God, fellowship, worship, and all of this thing that we are talking about, this is where it comes in again. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we together? So now, how do we? I'm finishing now. How do we live in the consciousness of this love that God has for us? How do we live in the consciousness of this love that God has for us? Just two things. Number one is communicate with your lover. Like I was saying earlier, when you love somebody, you talk to the person, you speak. I'll give the example. Yeah, I'm the one preaching. My babe and I, say we speak in the morning. When you want to preach your own, tell us about yourself and your enemy. When we speak in the morning, say, of course, after you pray, she prays in the house, I pray in my house, and all of that, and all of that. And then we call each other, my baby, how are you doing? How was your night? And all of that, and all of that. You know, the serenrena. It is. Yeah. Time is up. It's not that you know that time is up. See there. Anyways, after that, say maybe we are now very busy, or some, especially when I'm on set, and then we are not able to talk during the day, like that. We've spoken in the morning, no? The message I will see on my phone, she can say, am I sure I still have a boyfriend like this? Or she can say, if I say, now only me did this relationship now. Do you understand? It's just so to say that, we've not spoken since now. What's up now? I want to know what's going on with you. It's communication. Communicate with your lover. When you see God as your lover, as somebody that loves you so much, and you also love the person so much, you want to talk to him. So if you say you love God and you don't talk to God, go measure up. How do you guys now relate? By keeping malice. Hi, God. You want to carry you? You talk. You rub minds. You geez. The Bible says that God will talk to Moses as a friend is talking to his friend. That's how God wants to talk to you too. You can even make it very practical. You can make it very practical. You can have a chair like this. You sit down like this. Put one chair. I think there was a man of God that used to do that. You put one chair like this. Say, God, where are this morning? Let's talk. And you begin to pray. You begin to read the word of God. Sing psalms. Pray in other tongues. Yes, you are talking to God. Because sometimes when we say talk to God, we always see like, it's not every time that you, sometimes you just need you to rub mind. Speak English with him. God, I do not understand this thing that is going on. Explain to me. I just want to love you. You can be in the place of prayer for an hour. You are not really praying anything. You are just enjoying. It's like that. People will think you have slept off. Oh, this if really you have not slept off. You understand? You are just enjoying. You are enjoying your lover's. When you have boyfriend and girlfriend, I'm sorry, but sometimes people don't even have anything. Not on call, physically like this. People are together like this. You are not saying anything. She's pressing her phone. You are pressing your phone. You are just enjoying each other's company. She will say she's going on. Say, what time did you get here that you are going on? What's wrong with you? Do you understand? I just enjoy her company. I just enjoy. You cannot relate. Well, don't worry. It will come. Look, watch out for these things, though. If he's not doing you giz like this, go and hear from God again, Don't run your relationship like he's civil service work. Hello, good morning. What's for today? I have work. Do you have work too? Yes. All right, see you. Bye. Hero, enjoy it. You understand? So we communicate with our lover in prayer and in study of his word. I mean, somebody already said, this is my manual. This is the way by which I want you to know me. Then go to it and know him. There's no other. They say, my own is I love to pray. Hey, I read the Bible. But there's no buts. Breathing in and breathing out. Which one do you prefer? Say me. Me, I love to breathe in. Or me, I'm a breathing out. I'm an outsider. I'm a breathing out person. You can't even do it. So that's how prayer and the study of God is. You are breathing in, you are breathing out. You can't leave one for another. Do you understand? I've read 5 chapters today. I will pray 2 hours tomorrow. Ira, read 5 chapters today. Still pray 2 hours today. That's how it works. Do you understand? As you are reading it, he's explaining to you. You talk to him. You read it, he explains to you. You talk to him. That's how you begin to grow. That's when the word of God, when it's now settled, the way sin can jingiri in people's life, the word of God can jingiri in your life. I don't know the English for jingiri. It can settle in your life. When it now settles, come and show me the devil that will tell you that you are not loved. There's no devil. Won't be there. Who are you? Nobody. Do you understand? Study. This is a sure way to free yourself from identity insecurity. It's a sure way. Prayer and study of the word of God is a sure. As you begin to look back, the Bible says that when we look at the mirror, we begin to see ourselves in the mirror, then you are redefined. You begin to be made just perfect like that. As you are seeing God, you are seeing yourself. As you are seeing God, you are seeing yourself. But if you are not seeing God, all you are seeing is what is going on around you. If you are seeing is what people are saying of you, that's what you become. Do you understand? That's what you become. Do you hear what I'm saying? We don't have time to go to this scripture, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things. Isaiah 65, verse 24. He's saying, before you call, I will answer you. While you are still speaking, I've heard you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Call unto me, every lady, and I will give you rest. Joshua 1, 8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth. Jeremiah 15, 16. Please, let's read this. I'm almost done. Jeremiah 15, 16. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. There's a point you study the word of God that it will come alive in you. When it comes alive in you, sometimes you are just writing. When the Bible says that he has made my hand like that of a skillful writer, you are just writing. Sometimes you are just screaming. Sometimes it leads you to pray in other tongues. Sometimes you are just looking for somebody to share. I remember the day Paul read it. He read Hosea. He now read that God told him that he should go and marry prostitutes. He came to me and said, hey, Mr. All man, he calls the Lord first woman. I mean, that's the scripture. You know, is that scripture coming alive in you? You get what I'm saying? Sometimes you are just looking for somebody to share with. Sometimes you just want to write things down. Write things down. In my notes, if you see my notes, I have so many things. I used to taunt Paul at home now. Every time he's praying for someone, I say, you come and buy someone. I have plenty. Me, I never plan to preach in my life. At all. I just want to study the word of God, know the word of God. But if I encounter you one-on-one. So, when your words came, I ate the word of God. It is food for your belly. It is healthy for you. It is food for your destiny. It is food for your future. It is food for your soul, for your mind, for your spirit. Eat it. Consume it. Garbage it in. Garbage it out when needed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eat it. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, brunch, ikpapanu, junks, everything. Eat it like that. Every time. Eat it. There was a time I disciplined myself. I said, until I read the word of God, I'll know it's breakfast. I was like that. And it really helped me. I don't have to do that now because I will still read the word of God. Either it's breakfast or not. But then, I just, sometimes I say, let me do this, let me do that. By the time you do, you see that day is gone already. That's the end of the day. You will not read the word of God. But you say, if I've not read the word of God, I'll know it's breakfast. I'll not even eat at all. If I like, don't read till 4 p.m., that means you no go chop. And because I won't chop, I go read them. And it really helped me. I don't have to do that now anymore. Because God has helped me go past that stage. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can be a starting point for you too. You can find something to discipline yourself. You can set an alarm for it. See, I used to have alarm of years ago. I used to have alarm of 9 a.m., 3 p.m. I read the word of God, though. Morning, afternoon. Morning, afternoon. All of those things really helped me. That's what worked for me personally. Shaped my study of the word of God. Do you understand? I don't need to set alarm now to study the word of God. Do you get what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean I don't constantly remind myself that this word of God is my life. It's my life. Then the number two thing, and this is where I close, to live in the consciousness of God's love is love other people. Love other people. Tell your neighbor, love other people. Now tell yourself, call your name, then now tell yourself, Ebenezer, love other people. See, the kingdom of God is a love arena. It's a love. You see, everything is love. Everywhere is love. It's love. Shimmering. Imagine Valentine time. As you see, ribbons and red and flowers all over the place. That's how the kingdom of God is shimmering, shimmering, shimmering of love like this. Everywhere you look is love, 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 love. You cannot survive in this kingdom without love. Because the person we claim to be our father or we call our father says he is love. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you can't love people, how do you even love God? It's in the scriptures. Let's read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21. 1 John 4, 19 to 21. Yeah, it says that we love because he first loved us. If anyone says I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. I remember at the beginning of this our discussion, remember who said the liar is and the father of liars? Do you remember? Good. So, excuse me. He is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Do you understand? And this is what this silly devil tries to do to people. Because it makes people think to the extent that when you now settle it in your mind that nobody loves you or that you are not loved, then it now becomes hard. I mean, if you can't love yourself, how do you love other people? Everybody you now see becomes a suspect. Becomes you are so rigid, you don't even want to welcome anybody into your space, into your life, because you think that you are not loved. And you think they do not love you. You're even helping them to judge you by yourself. And that's not how everybody is. Me, I'm a lover. I love people. I love people. I love anybody. I love everybody. Do you understand? Love people. When you love people, it is easy for you to forgive people. Do you understand? Don't let unforgiveness keep you back. Don't let it keep you back from attaining. Jesus Christ said that when you kneel down to pray, and then you remember that there's somebody that you are supposed to forgive, don't even bother. See that your 2 hours that you want to reke, don't bother. First go and settle with that person before you now come back to pray. Same Jesus, when he was teaching us how to pray, he said that our Father was in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. As we forgive is a simultaneous thing. As I am forgiving them, God is forgiving me. Do you understand? He's not forgive us our trespasses after I have forgiven. Or forgive my trespasses first, then I will not forgive. No. As simple English, as you are doing this one, you are doing that one. Like you are doing simultaneous equation. As you are solving the first one, you are solving the second one together. No, so? Yeah. So that is how it is too. As we forgive other people, it is, see, for your own best interest, and this is not even part of what I plan to say, but for your own best interest, don't hold anybody to ransom, say, I will not forgive this person. It's for your own good. See, life is not Nollywood, though, that you think that, Shebi, if I don't forgive him, you will now go, he will suffer, they will now maybe see vision, or he will pray, God will now reveal to him that, you have offended for like her, you need to go and kneel down before her, and she needs to pray for you, then everything will now be rosy. He's a lie. If you check deep down, some of the people you are holding grudges with, some of them are doing better than you. They have, see, the Bible says that if somebody is offended by somebody, go and meet them, make peace with them. If the person no agree, carry person, an elder from the church, go and meet them. If the person no agree again, carry one or two, like that. The Bible says, if person no agree, leave the person. The Bible doesn't know what it's saying. Imagine Esau was still holding the grudge of Jacob. Say, I will not forgive him. I will not forgive him. I will not forgive him. It would just be in one spot. Jacob had gone. He had made it. Remind me. Was the lower May Esau see they sit down somewhere. Say he has to come back to Edom. So come and apologize for where he has done. If not, he will not make it. Baba. He has made it like, well, let me say it. Like when you go and watch football. I'm sure Chelsea fans now. I cannot but say it. When you go and watch football, and players are playing rubbish. There's one Egbon. This Egbon, they swear for players. Eh? I can't even say. Sometimes me and Paul just say, Baba, calm down. Ele, who's the show today? All these girls they are causing. You know they pass. You know they even pass. See this place that we are watching football. He can demolish it. Demolish all the houses around here. He will rebuild it. He can look and say, I want to demolish it again and rebuild it. I'm not satisfied. You demolish again, rebuild it for like 10 times. He will not be broke. He will not feel it. Somebody is collecting £350,000 per week. You are here swearing for him. You are not even making 350,000 naira per month. You are not even making 35K per week. You are saying, they play. Do you understand what I'm saying? So forgive people. Let them go. At least, if not for anything, for yourself. Because Esau forgave Jacob. When Jacob came to him, he sent the children of these concubines. He sent those ones with their children in front. Sent Leah and her children in front. Because he really loved Rachel. Kept Rachel to himself. Say, okay. Say, and then everybody that he was sending, he had gifts. When Esau came eventually, he said, all these things that you have, I do not need them. God has blessed me. Because that guy understood what forgiveness is. You understood? Forgive people. Let them go. He paid me. You did not know what he did to me. I don't want to know. It's not my business. Go and forgive them. It's for your own good. Life is not Nollywood. I'm telling you. Nobody is coming back to kneel down and say, I saw a vision that you have to pray for me. Well, God is dynamic in his workings. He can prompt people to do that. But that is not how it will always be. Do you understand? I mean, he can prompt people to make restitution. He can prompt people to reconcile with you. God can prompt things like that. But don't think that is how it always works. Lest you are just where you are with your bitterness. And the person you are bitter towards is going. Because unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting another person to die. You know, it will work like that. The drinker, the dyer. We can read 1 Corinthians 13. It talks about love. Please, you can read when you get home. John chapter 13. This is where I will really stop now. John chapter 13, verse 34-35. No verse. I hope somebody is blessed today. John chapter 13, verse 34-35. This is Jesus speaking. If you have read the red letter Bible, you will see it's red letter. A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So it's more or less saying like your ID card as a believer is love. Do you know what I'm saying? So he says, do I know you are a believer? It's love. Do you understand? How do I know you're a believer? It's love. And love is not something that says, I love people. You're wrong. It's by workings. It's by showing. We have to see it. Do you understand? And it has to be genuine. This is how people will know that you are my disciples, by loving one another. Let's rise to our feet this morning.